Tonight I want us to turn to one verse in the book of Psalm 100, and I want to read verse 4. Now we're going to be having communion here in just a little while, but I want to share a message with you that really kind of pertains to a thankful heart. When we have communion, we know that the Bible tells us, and this do in remembrance of me. But you know, I believe that we need to do it with a thankful heart and a humbled heart and a time to remember just exactly what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. You know, we would have no hope if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. We would be individuals that would be most miserable. If you really stop to consider where this world is, the direction this world is going, and could you imagine, and I'm glad we don't have to, but could you imagine if there wasn't a presence of Jesus Christ? As bad as things are now, I don't believe that we could even comprehend what it would be like. So as we take communion here in just a few moments, I want us to search our hearts, and I want us to take this time of remembrance, and I'd like to take this time with a thankful heart. The message that we've titled tonight is simply, Jesus, I'm thankful. Jesus, I'm thankful. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I think we could read that verse, and it says it all for us to be thankful. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. And Lord, we thank you for the time that we have set aside in following you. But help us, Lord, as we understand how important, but yet how serious this time of communion is. That we search our hearts because you know our hearts. And help us, Lord, as we have this time of remembrance, help us to also have this time of simply being thankful. Bless our time together. And Lord, we do pray for the many requests of prayer that people have on their hearts. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope I never lose sight of having a thankful heart. Sometimes we carry a lot of burdens, and sometimes we carry a lot of weight. Sometimes we carry a lot of distractions. But I hope we never lose sight of having a thankful heart for Jesus. And I know sometimes we give him a grocery list, if you will, of different prayer requests, different prayer concerns, and I'm grateful for that. Because the Bible says as we can cast our care upon him, for he cares for us. So I'm grateful for that. But we need to come with a thankful heart. In just a few moments, we're going to read to you the passage of Scripture dealing with the communion. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And in that passage, in these verses that we're going to be sharing with you here in just a few moments, the Bible says, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. We need to understand that that is something to take personal. that he broke his body for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Never will there be anyone be able to accomplish what Jesus did. Nor would anyone ever be able to try, because it's God's plan. And that's something for us to remember tonight, is the plan of salvation was God's plan. It wasn't orchestrated by man. It wasn't orchestrated by a team, but yet it was orchestrated by God. Because sin came into the world, and there had to be a price that was paid for that sin. And Jesus, excuse me, who knew no sin, became sin for us. And so never will there be anything like that accomplished again. Never will there be anyone who would be willing to take our place. Yes, we would be willing to help a close friend, maybe a family member. But Jesus died for the whole world. And you look at the state the world is in, and you look at the condition from generation to generation to generation, and how that Jesus loved everyone so much that he died on the cross for our sins. Never will there be anyone sinless like Jesus that could even begin to take our place. That's important. We celebrate the birth of Christ and we think about the virgin birth, and that's important. He was sinless, the one who knew no sin. And as we have communion here in just a few moments, may we remember Jesus tonight with a thankful heart. May we remember the broken body. May we remember the shed blood. May we remember who he is and what was accomplished. I can't go any further without causing us to be reminded of what happened on the cross, which is a true picture of where so many are today, with Christ hanging on the cross and the two thieves, one on each side. And I want to read to you Luke chapter 23, verse 39 and following. The Bible says, "And one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art the same? Condemnation. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst." The first thing I'd like to share with you this evening is the fact that there needs to be a reality that there's going to be some that reject Jesus. There will be those that reject Jesus. Even in their last breath, they will reject Jesus. But tonight, just as you, I'm grateful my eyes were opened. He had rejected Jesus in verse 39, one of the thieves. Notice the attitude that he had. If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Notice the attitude. There was doubt. It was almost like he was saying, well, if you're Jesus, show me. Show me. I had someone tell me that one time. Someone told me, he said, I'll believe Jesus if I could see some of the miracles that he performed. The attitude that he portrayed is much like many that's in the world today. Notice the question that he gave and the statement, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. We see his refusal. He refused to see who Jesus was. He refused. Much like many today, they refuse. He didn't fear God because he was at the point of death. He was guilty of the crimes that he had committed. The other malefactor said that. That we're here justly because of the deeds that they did. He didn't fear God. One would say he did ask Jesus to save him because it says, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But yet he came with the improper spirit. He said the words, but he didn't mean it. And that's what concerns me today when you talk to someone and when you go maybe knocking on with someone's door and you talk to them about the Lord, and it just seems like that everyone that you talk to is saved, and they'll tell you that. Now, we're not their judge, nor can we judge them, and we don't know the heart, but it does concern me because of the life that is lived. It's a concern. His refusal to see who Jesus was, he didn't fear God, and he simply refused Jesus. So there's going to be those rejecting Jesus even in his last breath. His rejection shows how close people can be to salvation and still die lost. How close they can be and still die lost. This shows that someone in their last moments of life can still reject Jesus in the last hour. And when the last breath is taken, it's too late. It's too late. Very sobering. The pastor and I have had many conversations about doing funerals. And although it's difficult because you're trying to help the family and you're trying to comfort the family, but yet it's not quite as difficult when you know they're saved. But when you do a funeral, and I've done several that I didn't really know the person, and I'm sure the pastor has done several himself, but it makes it real difficult when you don't know. Because regardless of what the world may say, and I've heard this so many times, well, they're better off. But without Jesus, they're not better off. Without Jesus. It's too late. And there's no comprehension of the suffering that may take place in this earth as they live to the suffering that is eternal without Jesus Christ. So I'm thankful tonight for Jesus. I'm thankful for Jesus. The other thief received grace that was willing to be given. When he says the words, "And we indeed justly, for we receive or due rewards of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss," he actually says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." You see, he realized who he was himself, of a sinner. And that's where we are. I think that's some of the problem with people today, is they just don't realize that they're true sinners, because many times individuals compare themselves to others, but as we compare ourselves to a holy God, every one of us has the understanding that we're just sinners. And if we're saved, we're sinners saved by grace. He realized who he was. He was a sinner in verse 41. He realized who Jesus was and that he had done nothing wrong, meaning Jesus. And he knew the statement of what he needed to say, and he had the proper attitude. He had the proper heart. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He had the proper heart. He addressed the Lord in the proper way. I don't know about you, but I still get disgusted when I hear people take the Lord's name in vain. It disgusts me. And it bothers me. But there's a realization of that I know who the Lord is, and you know who the Lord is, but these individuals don't understand. He saw Jesus as one that would help him. He saw Jesus as the Savior. And verse 43 says, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And I say, Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior." Jesus gave his all. He gave a promise. He gave a place. He gave a time. And he gave the company, because he says, "With me. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." There's a song that says, "Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is mine." When I read those words, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise," I realize how personal that is. To be absent in this body is to be present with the Lord, where our faith becomes sight. As we take communion, may we take it with a thankful heart. May we rejoice and be thankful for him. But you know, I can't help but say this. Communion is very serious. I ask the question tonight, and that is this. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? One thief rejected. Hasn't been too long ago that I mentioned the fact that there's no middle ground. You're either saved or you're unsaved. There's no middle ground. Regardless of what lies that is out in the world, there's no middle ground. One thief rejected Jesus, the other received Jesus. He knew he was a sinner and he needed a Savior. So I ask that question before we take communion is, are you saved? The second question I ask you is, are you where God wants you to be in your Christian walk? And that's a question that we should ask ourselves daily. Are we where God wants us to be? Or is there something hindering? In just a few moments, I'm going to read to you the passage in 1 Corinthians, and it actually talks about examining yourself. Only you and the Lord knows your heart. So we must examine ourselves, and we'll have a moment of silence as we're partaking of communion and where you can talk to the Lord and pray. Are you where God wants you to be? And then the last question I asked is, are you thankful? Are you thankful? With burdens, with trials, with difficulties, with living life, there's a lot of challenges. But we should not have a day that goes by that we don't say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to have the musicians come and Brother Hal, and we're going to have a invitation song. And although we're having communion here in just a few moments, I still want to invite folks to come, because you can't rush communion, but if you, there's something that you need to talk to the Lord about, I challenge you to come and talk to Him. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm grateful for that. Father, as we have this moment of invitation, Lord, I pray that if there's someone that needs to come, that they won't hold back and just simply come and talk to you. If nothing else, just come and say, Lord, thank you. Have your will and way in Jesus' name. Amen.